Yo, 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 Thought Warriors, what is up? Higher Learning is on. It is I, Van Lathan Jr.
And it's me, Rachel Lynn Lindsay.
Okay. I think that it's important that we talk about, like, right away, kind of something that Rach is going through that I watch happening real time, that a lot of people are going through. We had Football Fun Day yesterday. Bunch of people over. We watched both games. Rachel and Brian were there. During this time, Rachel got some unfortunate news that a coworker of hers, and a friend of hers, had passed away. I'm sure you guys have all heard the news by now. And you know what? I don't want to take up too much space here. As we do this podcast, Rachel is just coming back from grief counseling. Why don't you tell people what's going on and how you're feeling right now? I know it's hard for you.
Yeah, so I got the news that Chesley had passed away, and then shortly thereafter, the details started to come in. And I haven't been settled since I've found out about it, and I don't want to make it about me. I think there's just so much. I want to talk about Chesley because she was such a remarkable person, and at 30 had accomplished so much. And there are so many ways that I looked up to her. And one of them being is that if you met people who knew Chesley, they would say, which now I feel like is something to pay attention to, and this might help somebody else, but people would always say, Chesley never has a bad day. Chesley always seems upbeat, always positive, always happy, and she was. She was infectious. Her reputation preceded her. She impacted whoever she came in contact with. The first thing people would say about her is how nice and warm-hearted she was. She was such a kind soul. So true. In a lot of ways, I envied her because I'm not that positive person. I don't always look at things and see the good. I normally go towards the negative, and I would admire that about her. And I would really, and like, I would joke with her about that. I was like, I'm the antithesis of you. She was fabulous from the head to the toe. When she would walk into a room, and I would be like, yeah, I'm like so rough around the edges. And we would joke about that. But what I love, as people are pouring these tributes out about her, what I love so much is that she was humble with everything that she had going on, and she was supportive. She was always checking on other people. And then it's like, when you hear of a tragedy like this, and it's twofold, because one, you lose someone, but then in the way you lose them is just even more, it's just even harder to swallow, because I'm a person who's always trying to seek logic and understanding in things. And this isn't just one of those, this isn't one of those things where I'm going to get that answer. But you often hear people say, you know, check on the strong people. Someone said something else too, and I really think this applies to Chesley. It's don't just check on those who are strong. Check on those who are always smiling. Like, nobody has a good day every single day. People go through it. And she was always so willing to check on you, and it makes you in hindsight say, did you do that same thing for her, or did you just assume she was okay because she always presents that way? I know that she was working on so many things. She had just moved. She was working on a book, which is something we talked about. She just started a YouTube series. She just had so many projects that were coming. She already had achieved so much, but she was on the cusp of just like, just going beyond that. Like, the sky was the limit for her. And my heart just goes out to her family, to her friends, to the New York team who worked with her closely every single day, to the LA family. I went back and forth, so I had a different opportunity to get to know her on another level. But I just want to, you know, like, my thoughts and prayers go out to every single person who had the pleasure of getting to know her but is saddened by this news, because it is just devastating. And I will always remember Chesley for her light, her joy, her willingness to see the good in everything. And as crazy as this world is, she could always find the bright spot. She was the bright spot. And I just want to say, it's just a reminder to check on people, love on people, because you truly never know what demons they're fighting. behind closed doors.
She was also, well, we first came to know her because she was Miss USA 2019, in a year where there was a lot of black women that won beauty pageants. And I remember seeing all of them and being so proud and stuff. I did not know her. But just the litany of people that are in my same radius who did, and to see the outpouring was really something else. You know, she had been open about her her struggles with mental health and some of the anxiety that she had faced and some stuff like that in the past. And I sometimes wonder if we've reached the level of seriousness that we need to be at when people share stuff, you know, and I don't know how to do it, but and I'm not speaking specifically about her. I'm just, everybody's got so much on them right now, you know, like oh, go ahead. I'm sorry, Rachel. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead. Finish your thought.
I still don't have the shells to my shotgun, like in my house, you know? Because I haven't felt comfortable enough to go and get the shells of the shotgun back that Coley told me to give to my friend. Mm-hmm. Because one day I'm looking at the shotgun and I'm like, yo, I actually had a thought about pulling the trigger, the sound, what would happen, and all of that. And the only thing that stopped me is the image of Kalika discovering me. That's the, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, and it was like, and it's weird. And to see you get that news, like to see it on your face as it happened, was just, as soon as I saw the react, I knew something terrible had happened. And it was just, I didn't, no one knew what to do and still don't, you know?
You know, it's something that you said at the beginning that it's like, she was very open and honest about mental health. And I think as a society, we've come to a place where we at least recognize it and we talk about it. But when I listened to her talk about mental health and how she coped with it, when I read what she wrote about it, it seemed she had a grip on it, which I think is like one of the hardest things to accept, because it seemed like it wasn't that you were ignoring that she struggled with things. It was that, wow, she seems to really be in a place where she knows she can recognize if things go wrong. She has outlets of who to talk to or to make herself, you know, like de-stress or deal with anxiety. And then we're here where we are today, and she didn't, and it's like you're just left with what took her to this point, what was her breaking point. And so I, when you talk about like what do we do, it's tough, because sometimes people aren't honest with you about what it is they're going through, or they appear to have a grip on it. And you think, oh, at least because they're recognizing their mental health, they're okay. I know I'm guilty of that. I'm like, okay, well, at least they know they have what their outlets to make things better. But then when you're struggling with that, or when you've had a history of, you know, suicidal thoughts or whatever it may be, what I'm learning is I don't think that ever leaves you, ever. And so, you know, when people are like, and I even said it, reach out to the ones who are smiling, reach out to the strong ones. You almost just have to like force yourself on those people, because it's so much deeper than that. You know, like you can reach out and they can tell you're okay, but like you really, and people say pay attention to the warning signs. There weren't any with Chesley. There weren't. You can ask anybody who was close to her. There weren't any. So,
let me ask you. I know that it's not about you, but I see you right now. But how are you doing?
I'm not okay, because it's just so unsettling, and I don't mean to be morbid about it, but like, because I said it earlier, it's twofold. So I like just keep thinking about like her final moments and how desperate and tormented she must have been and how devastated she must have felt and how alone. And I can't get that out of my head. And I just wish, you know, there was something I could have done or someone else could have done, or, you know, like, did we miss anything? And I think that's like I'm just so in pain of thinking about her final moments that led her to her tragic death. I mean, someone said this to me and it's so true. Her personal life was very private and quiet. The way she went out was loud and public. And I just keep thinking, like, what made her go through that? Like, what made her go there and do that? And like, I never knew. I didn't know that she was struggling in that way. And I can't get over it. I didn't even sleep last night. I'm just so unsettled. And I just keep thinking, if I feel this way for somebody who really just got to know her well in the last 6 months, I cannot imagine her mother, that was her best friend. I can't imagine her brothers and sisters. It's her sister. I can't imagine her stepfather. I just can't imagine what her family is going through, and they just don't have the answers, and they just want to understand why. It's just so heartbreaking, because she was everything. She was everything. And she was like, she could have done anything she wanted to do. Anything.
Okay. We're going to leave it right there and come back on the other side of a break.
This episode is brought to you by Hyundai. You could be doing anything this week, right? You've got work, errands, friends, and a whole lot of fun in between. That's why the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the capable SUV that's built for your life. With premium interiors, available wireless charging, and room for your whole cargo and crew. Okay, Hyundai. Visit HyundaiUSA.com to learn more about the all-new 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe.
All right. Check it in. Rachel, you're still doing okay? You're okay?
The podcast is a great distraction.
Okay, later on, guys, we're actually going to have Mac G on the podcast. Mac G, if you guys remember, is the South African podcaster, Mac G's Podcast and Chill, that got into the back and forth on, I guess, social media. I guess there was no back and forth on the podcast, but I guess it was on social media.
Yeah.
That Ari Lennox said she felt disgusted and embarrassed by the question that Mac G asked Ari Lennox on Podcast and Chill. Mac G's actually going to be on the podcast on Higher Learning in a little bit to kind of talk about that. And we'll see how he feels about Ari Lennox in the interview now that he's had some time between what happened now that he's had some time to think about it, how he feels about the entire deal. Okay, big sports news happened. Despite the games that went on yesterday that were fantastic in the NFL, it's the end of an era, Rach. Oh. Tom Brady. Tom Brady retiring. He's done.
Not a fact. Not a fact.
That's what you say. What do you say?
You can't listen. It's Tom Brady. We have yet to hear from him. Everybody else is out here speaking for Tom Brady. Tom Brady has not said a word. Matter of fact, the company or whatever that tweeted.
Rach, I got to do something. I'm sorry. Leave this in.
I'm like.
Leave this in.
What happened?
I can't believe I did that.
What happened?
How in the fuck are we as Higher Learning going to come back from our first break and go into Tom Brady when news broke just this morning that is much, much bigger than anything Tom Brady can do in his entire life? Tom Brady has won 7 Super Bowls, and not one of those championships is as important as a picture, a series of pictures that were taken in Harlem, in New York, this morning. One of those pictures is of Robin Fenty. And she has El Bumpo El Babyo. I am so sorry, Tom Brady. We're going to talk about your retirement. Before we talk about you going away, we're talking about what's coming in to the world in a little while. And that could most possibly be the most beautiful child that's ever existed. Courtesy of A$AP Rocky and Robin Rihanna Fenty. I am so sorry. I got to smack myself. Rachel, You are so prepared to consummate a professional. You are ready to go.
I'm happy to be wrong. I'm happy you stopped, because that is absolutely what we should be talking about. This is a beautiful thing to celebrate. I had no idea. We're so caught up in getting pictures of them as a couple that it didn't even cross my mind.
Yeah.
They were bringing life into this world. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I thought it was a joke. I don't know what I thought. When I saw it, I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
What? But oh, she looks stunning. Beautiful. They look so happy. Yeah. I can't wait. She looks like she's very far along as well.
She's got a bump. It's a bump.
Yeah. I don't know if they've announced a due date or anything, but I love that she kept it under wraps. I love that they've been able to celebrate this probably with their family, their close friends, and with each other before they let the world in on it. Because that's a whole other thing when you decide to open it up to the public. So yeah. I am so thrilled for Rihanna and A$AP Rocky.
Shout out to Rihanna. Shout out to A$AP Rocky. So two things happened when I first got this news, when I first saw this. The first thing I saw was, God damn. Man, she didn't let that Hall of Nigga ruin the dream.
Stop.
You know what I mean? It's not for me, you know, but everybody out there had the dream. That was the dream, really. We talk about what Dr. King wanted. That's a dub. We know that ain't never happening. You know what I'm saying? The Rihanna thing was never happening either, but it was going to happen for someone. See, we would never get the justice that Dr. King wanted, but eventually somebody was going to get to be Rihanna, get to be the baby daddy of Rihanna. That was going to happen. One of those things was going to happen. Dr. King's thing, these motherfuckers crazy.
That's how did we get here? How did we get here?
We got here because I'm talking about the big picture. And in the big picture, there are very few things that seem unattainable that people are actually going to attain.
Okay.
You know what I mean? In the big picture, we talk about things that are unattainable. Like, I watched the Star Wars yesterday, because after you left, me and the Midnight Boys
stayed. That's what you did? That's what you
watched? Yeah, we watched old Star
Wars.
I'll
never be a part of the cool kids with that group.
That's what we did. That's what we do.
We
watched Star Wars clips, and it was so funny as Kalika watched with horror.
I should have taken Kalika with me.
As we watched the clips and then said the lines as the guys were saying them. Like, I will stop you. You will try. It's very true. So I watched Star Wars, and part of the thing about Star Wars is you're watching it and you're like, these are things that are not going to happen. Like us traveling at light speed, probably not going to happen. Lightsaber, probably not going to happen. Can't arc a laser. Don't have the technology yet. Might not happen. The Rihanna thing was something that seemed unattainable, but it was going to happen. I'm so happy that it has. Even though for the rest of everyone else, it's something to mark off the bucket list. You're never going to get lucky enough to meet Rihanna. You're not going to be that guy. But she looked so happy.
Beautiful.
They looked so good together. And she just looks like it feels like she got her storybook ending. And now Harlem got a one-up on the rest of New York. Shout out to not just A$AP Rocky. Shout out to Jim Jones. Shout out to Cameron. You know what I mean? Shout out to Dame Dash. Shout out to Big. Shout out to everybody from Harlem. Harlem, you did it. Harlem, you did it. You did it, Harlem. You look around. You think about
all. How does your mind go here? No.
Think about Harlem. You let, Rachel.
No.
You let this dude would have been from Baton Rouge. You let this guy would have been from Baton Rouge. We would have put that on the sign that you see when you're driving into Baton Rouge. Welcome to Baton Rouge. Home of the nigga that's Rihanna's baby daddy. We would have definitely, I'm not bullshitting you.
Let me ask you this. When A$AP Rocky got with Rihanna, did you see their relationship going here?
Yes.
Really?
Because Rihanna seems like, and I don't have any inside information, but she seems like she's at a very pivotal time in her life where she's ready to accept happiness. Mm. She's ready to make I'm not speaking, there are certain points where your life hits like a crossroads. She's accomplished so much.
Yeah.
She's accomplished so much. And you get to a certain point in your life where you just look around and you go, I'm ready to be happy. And the only thing that you can hope is that when you get to that point, that there's someone and some people, a lot of people around you that you've built your life in a way that now you can actually put those things together and actually be happy. And she has.
I don't know why, but I never thought baby with them. It's not that I didn't think it could happen. It was just like I appreciated so much seeing them together and how much in sync they seem to be and so how happy. And of course, I'm developing this all from pictures and videos. Uh-huh. Yeah. But it never crossed my mind. And then when it happened, I was like, well, of course. I mean, he gushed over her last year in a GQ article. They both talked about the happiest they've ever been. So quite naturally, it just seems like they would want to continue to grow their love. So I'm just thrilled for them. I mean, I love the quiet, subtle way they did it. They just post these and pictures the second, just came out.
Second thing I thought was, I'm glad that nobody stole their moment. I'm glad that this didn't pop out on a TMZ or a Page Six or any of those places. Rihanna's doing the same thing she's always done, which is control the narrative of her life.
But can we applaud her team? It's not just Rihanna. Whoever she has around her is like, it's like sealed tightly. I feel like anybody else that information would have gotten out. We would have heard a rumor. Rumor is Rihanna's pregnant. Rumor is. We knew nothing, not an inkling of it. So whoever she has surrounded herself with, that is the dream team. Don't ever break that circle of trust, because with anybody else, we would have already had some type of speculation.
And by the way, that's $1 million secret. I'm going to tell you right now.
Oh, come on, TMZ. How much is it worth? How much does it cost?
I'm going to be honest with you. If you had the knowledge and the picture, if you could get the picture, not just the actual knowledge, if you had the knowledge and you had the picture, you could sell the picture for $1 million.
What if it was just the knowledge?
Well, the knowledge just leads to a tip. The tip just leads to the story. That's one thing. The picture itself, if you could get that picture, snap that picture, I could make an argument with what I know that you could sell that for $1 million. Now, you might not get it. Like, if you sell it to TMZ, it might not be $1 million. But if you were to get it, it's definitely worth $1 million. And I think you could get $500,000 from an organization like TMZ. If you owned it and sold it everywhere and you license it, you're going to make more than that. But that is a $1 million photo.
And so let me tell you what
nobody
you just said.
Nobody in her crew betrayed her. Y'all, all you niggas out there talking about how solid your crew is. All they doing is calling TMZ on some tip shit. That's $1 million photo, $1 million secret, and they kept it real with her. She's doing something
I'm telling you. And let me tell you what else you just said without saying it. What? TMZ has fallen off. That's what you just said. Back in the day, TMZ would have had that information. They would have had some speculation. You just said, Van Lathan, that TMZ has fallen off and it is not what it used to be.
That's not what I'm saying. I mean, look, That's what I heard. But they probably wouldn't have got the Rihanna. But more than anything, happy for Rihanna and A$AP Rocky. Now we can talk about the fact that Tom Brady is retiring.
Rumored. Now, see, that's a rumor. That's a speculation, right? Rihanna herself had pictures with her baby bump with A$AP Rocky, the father of her baby. Uh-huh. That was there. Evidence. Uh-huh. Proof. We don't have that with Tom Brady. All we have are people reporting who are close to him, who are in his camp. He don't have the same circle of trust Rihanna has, that are saying that he is retiring. Even his company tweeted it out and retracted it. Pulled it back.
Yeah.
So we don't know. I mean, I feel like the way Tom Brady works, maybe he was considering that and he saw the attention and he was like, you know what? Change my mind. Oops, my bad. Not going to do it.
I think he is retiring or had at least had made up his mind to retire. Who knows what he's going to do now, right? I think he was retiring. He had made up his mind to retire, but I think that he wanted to wait till after the Super Bowl to announce that. And they were putting together this crazy retirement video or whatever, and because he doesn't have 24 karat gold crew that Rihanna has,
right?
It got out. But the question is, now that it's been out and he sees what's going on and his thunder was stolen to a degree, might that push him to play another year? Because think about it. My man Kaz pointed out, shout out to Kaz, and if you're out there, please listen to Say Less with Kaz and Lo. But if you're Tom Brady. Don't you want the retirement tour like Kobe got? Don't you want the retirement tour like Derek Jeter got? When you announce it before the season, this is my last season, you can go to stop, and get sucked off by every single NFL franchise. And like they do all this discussion, oh, it's Tom Brady, whatever, and do the whole thing. Oh, maybe the last time you play the Patriots or whatever like that. Because if he announces his retirement, the NFL certainly schedules a game between Tampa Bay and the Patriots. And then you get that last thing, him and Bill Belichick acting like they cool when they fucking hate each other and all of that stuff. And he's not getting any of that. So you wonder if maybe he wants his retirement tour, especially now that the bloom is off the rose about him announcing his stepping away, you know?
Maybe so, but I just have a hard time. First of all, it's we're so quick in the media, not us, because Fan and I don't do that, but like the media in general is so quick to break news that they don't think about respecting the person, their feelings, the way they want to go about it. Obviously, Tom Brady wanted to be the first person to announce it. Like, it's horrifying to me when I see, you know, like, well, sources are telling me just because you want your name attached to the story, and if it comes out, everybody's got a reference that you were the first to say it. Like, that's the business. And I hate that for him. If he really is retiring, I hate that that was stolen away from him.
Oh, yeah. Well, we disagree, because if I get that information, I'm putting that shit out.
Come on, TMZ. Show your true colors. Like, I know. Like, you worked there for multiple times, multiple years. I know how you roll.
Here's the deal. I don't give a fuck about Tom Brady. You let me figure out that. You let me hear from Tom Brady that I'm putting it out. Van Bomb. It's coming out.
We know that. Man, you know what I'm saying? We know that about you.
You know
we
what I'm know. Saying? Hey, but, you know, I've left that life behind, but the reality is if I get something not. Like that on a, I could have another conversation about why I don't give a fuck about Tom Brady. I'm letting the Tom Brady fans live right now. I could talk about why I don't give a fuck about him.
Fine. Like, another conversation. I'm letting them
live. I don't even want to be that guy that brings up that shit. I don't even want to be that guy, but I could tell you another reason why I don't give a fuck about him. But not if I get that, I'm
more
so
speaking in a general sense. But if I'm Tom Brady and I'm seeing a Joe Burrow and what he did, and I'm seeing looking at Josh Allen, and I'm even looking at Patrick Mahomes, and I'm looking even Dak Prescott, I'll put it out there. I'm looking at these young quarterbacks. I'm looking at the way the game is going, the league is going, the system is going. To me, that's why I would want to step away. Forget having a farewell tour. You're Tom Brady. You've done all these magnificent things in the league. It's not necessary. You're not going to gain anything extra by having a farewell tour. I really do think this is it for him. I just think it's unfortunate that it was stolen away from him being able to control the narrative surrounding it, and people did it for him. For clickbait.
A couple of more entertainment things to go to. I just want to ask you something real quick. Did you watch the Janet Jackson documentary?
I didn't, because I got insight to what was going down, and it sounds like I can wait.
Okay.
Did you watch the whole thing?
I watched the second part. Yeah, I watched the first part. I watched the second part. What are you talking about?
I heard you just first say I watched the second part.
No, I know, but I had already watched the first part, and I hadn't watched the second part, and then I watched the second part. All right.
I heard, quote, I learned, on one hand, I can count the things, new things that I learned. So it sounded to me like I could wait.
You can wait. Love her to death. She's love her to death. Admit to me. Great celebration of Janet. And we need no reasons to celebrate Janet Jackson. No reasons. We should be celebrating her all the time. But as far as that documentary, nah. She tried to rehabilitate Justin Timberlake.
Okay, well, that's a surprise.
She said that we should let Justin live. Look. If we all decided together, if there was like an email chain and we decided to let Justin live, because I like Justin's music. I fuck with Justin because I just think Justin Timberlake is the epitome of the tragic white boy. He is. Look, Justin Timberlake is the epitome of the tragic white boy. He is. It's his very whiteness that is offensive. There's really nothing about Justin Timberlake that in and of itself is in any way evil or bad. It's his very whiteness that is offensive. And he was able to overcome it for years until we really learned that at its core, and you saw little hints of it, right? Like when Punk came to his shit and they took his truck and this nigga cried. You're like, say, dog, why would you cry?
He was so distraught.
Yeah, I'm like, why would you cry? Like, you're... That's the kind of thing, because, you know, he's dancing and he's singing like a nigga. And you're thinking to yourself, hey, this guy is kind of like, we're on the same wavelength. But, like, if we got $1 million, think about it. If they come try to tow Gucci Mane car, Gucci going to eat cereal while they tow the car and throw money at the tow truck driver. I'm just going to get my shit back. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like when Jadakiss, I'll give you an example. You guys go back and watch Punk'd. Remember when they punked Jadakiss and they made Jadakiss was in the car and the woman was acting like Jadakiss was causing an accident. Look how Jada reacted. Jada was like, what the fuck you want me to do? I can't do nothing. Justin cried. and so, you know, Justin cried. And so we looked at, but he's, you know what? And then when it was time for Justin to show how down he was, he used his superpower, which is his whiteness. That's hard to get over, man. I don't have really no ill will for Justin, like in a real aggressive way, but it's just hard when someone turns to being white and when the chips are stacked up against him. And so, you know,
you're right.
You know, but I think he can sing though. I like his music.
Listen, I was an NSYNC fan. I go way back. I get it. I like Justin Timberlake a lot. But
yeah,
that's shocking to me. That actually, you saying that she tried to rehabilitate him makes me want to watch it. Because I'm like,
she just said we should like stop fucking over him.
Is he in the documentary?
No. There was one part.
I saw that rumor.
There was one part where I guess they told her that Justin wanted her to come out and do the Super Bowl. That he was asking her to come to the Super Bowl when he did it. Now let me tell you something. This is my thing. See, if Janet had done that, people would have probably got over the Justin Timberlake thing. I don't know if she really wants people to get over it, because had she showed up with him in the Super Bowl, first of all, the performance itself would have been much, much better. And secondly, people might have been able to get past it, right? Because it'd have been a full circle moment.
Sure.
But she didn't do it, so we ain't gonna do it.
You know? Very true.
At the same time, you know, whatever. Did you watch We Need to Talk About Cosby? Did you see that?
No.
Gonna rip your soul apart.
Well, here's how I feel about that. I don't want to talk about Cosby.
Yeah.
And that's where I am. Don't want to talk about him. You know what he was to me growing up. You know what he is to me now. I don't want to talk about it anymore. Why do we have to keep rehashing it? We know what a monster he was. I don't want to see it in depth and detail.
Nah, you gotta
I don't.
You have to watch
it. I saw
the
billboard. I was coming down Fountain, turning south on La Cienega. There is a billboard right there at Hollywood. Is that Hollywood? You know, I don't be knowing my streets yet. You know what I'm saying? There's a right when you're coming out La Cienega towards Santa Monica from Sunset, there is a billboard for it. And I saw it. And Cosby's head is the O, and he's got the colorful sweater on, the coochie sweater, colorful. And I just thought, I don't want to know about Cosby. I don't.
Let me tell you what one reason why. First of all, it was very hard to
yourself.
It was hard to watch because they showed the one clip from the Cosby show where
Which one?
They're all singing for the grandparents.
Oh, the Ray Charles song.
The Ray Charles song.
Nighttime, night and day.
Yo, like I felt like watching that scene, which is such a perfect expression of Black love, art, and heritage. Watching that scene in We Have to Talk About Cosby felt like a fucking funeral. It felt like I had lost something, because I'm looking at it and I'm like, fuck, man. I'm looking at it the whole time. But let me tell you why you should watch it. There's a narrative that goes on in some of these corners of Twitter that we don't really talk about, that Bill Cosby didn't hurt Black women. The voices that you hear talking about, listen, people say that. I know how crazy it is, but the voices that you hear talking in this documentary to a large degree, shall I say, are of the young black women that were groomed and manipulated by Bill Cosby and taken advantage of and raped by Bill Cosby. And you're seeing that Bill Cosby, there was a pathology there. There was a type there. There was a way he threw his weight around there. And that also possibly there were other people working in and around the Cosby show that were very aware of his behavior.
Of course. You think that man got away with all of that for that long without help? Please. I know this. This is why I don't need to talk about Cosby.
But I think it's important. I think it's important to watch it. I think it's important to watch it just because I think that I had reconciled my relationship with Bill Cosby and the fact that everything I thought about him, or a large portion of what I thought about him, was a lie. But I don't think I had yet done that with Cliff Hustable, and I think you have to do it.
Let me tell you something, and this can be controversial as it is. When people talk about representation, when they talk about seeing themselves on television, I saw myself in the Cosbys, in the Huxtables, I should say. Cosby Show, the Huxtables. I saw myself as one of the kids. I saw the lawyer dynamic. My dad was not a doctor, but I saw that. I wanted to be them. I understood the trials and tribulations that the Huxtables went through. And to me, I feel like I can separate what the show from the person. The people who were involved on that show from the person, even outside of Bill Cosby. So you're not, I don't want to watch that and take that away from me. Do I sit and watch Cosby reruns? No, but it meant so much to me that I feel like it's not wrong of me to still love what the Cosby show represented to me as a child growing up and separate that from the monster that Bill Cosby was. Unless you're about to tell me because Rudy's not talking about that. If you told me Rudy started saying some stuff, I think I couldn't separate it.
But I think it's a cop out.
No, I'm not Felicia Rashad here denying that it happened. What I'm saying is that show meant so much to me.
Yeah.
That you're not going to take the show in itself and the characters. They're playing characters. The characters that they played and the family dynamic they represented, you're not going to take that away from me.
Yeah, he invented a character for himself, and the character he invented was of a man who examines women in his basement of his house. And so the reality is that, and by the way,
such a little part of the show, by the way.
Like, well, one of the girls that talked about the fact, he used the Cosby show, he used that show to take advantage of these women. Had a part on the show. She was on the show.
I believe it. But that's the power dynamic. That's the power dynamic.
But what I'm saying is,
he uses his power and his title to take advantage of these women.
But it's all tainted. It's part of it. It's like, if we're going to do this thing, if we're going to do this thing, Rachel, we got to do this thing, man.
Did it happen during filming? Like, that is such a small part of the show. Like, how many times did you see Cliff Huxtable in the basement or at the hospital? Because a lot of times you saw him at the hospital.
So one of the women, Rachel, and I didn't mean to cut you off, just
no,
so you know.
It's okay.
One of the women, he used the fact that he was going to write her into an episode of The Cosby Show.
Of course.
To lure her in. He assaulted her and then gave her the job anyway. She's on The Cosby Show. She took the job, felt like she couldn't say no to it. She's on there, and she talks about that, all of that stuff.
That's not the power dynamic. We have to talk about Cosby. He used his
power. He used the Bill Cosby name.
I'm sorry. I'm going to separate. I am not watering down what Bill Cosby did. That man is a monster, and it's disgusting. But I still have to hold that show. I still hold that show in high regard. Call me controversial if you want. I'm sorry.
Let me tell you something. You can hold the show in high regard because the show is just a good show, but my thing is this. You still got a different world. You can have a different world. Different world is actually better than The Cosby Show.
It depends what you're looking for. It
it's
two totally different types of shows. It depends what you're looking for.
Better.
You're getting a family dynamic from a college dynamic. I get it.
Right.
When Rudy came to visit Denise, it was one of my favorite episodes. I was Rudy.
You were Rudy growing up?
I felt like I was, a little Denise and a little Rudy.
I want none of them niggas.
Well, this is what I'm saying about representation. We talked about this, Thea and Cosby.
You know who I was? Michael from Good Times. that's who I was. But nah, seriously, you should watch it. You should watch it. At least.
I'm not in a mental state to be able to take that in.
I understand.
I will wait. I understand.
Okay, let's take a break. Guys, we covered here on Higher Learning the interview between Ari Lennox and South African podcaster Mac G that Ari Lennox said went off the rails and caused so much discussion on social media last week. Something amazing happened when I went to my DMs. I saw some correspondence from this guy who is actually a huge, huge, huge podcaster down there in his home country of South Africa. Mac G himself reached out and we were able to put this together to get his take on what happened between him and Ari Lennox. Now, of course, you guys have heard the name. The name of the podcast is Podcast and Chill. He is also a staple at Johannesburg's number one hit music station, 94.7? 94.7?
Yeah, 94.7, yeah.
94.7, where he hosts weeknights, 10 to 1. And a dance show on Saturday. They're working this guy a lot, but we want to talk to him about his thoughts on the fallout from the Ari Lennox thing. Mac G coming all the way in from South Africa, our home. Mac G, how you doing, brother?
I'm getting you, Van. Thank you so much. Thank you, Rachel. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Okay.
I'm glad you decided to hit me up, man.
Yeah, no problem. So Rachel's got the first question. Rachel, take it away.
I mean, obviously, Mac G, I'm just going to start with the obvious question. Is someone fucking you good right now?
Touché. Too soon. Too soon.
I mean, are you going to answer? Is it too soon? You going to answer?
No.
Was that too much? Was it too much of a question?
No, someone is fucking me real good right now.
Okay. Good for you. My question is, okay, I'm not going to ask you whether or not you feel like you had the right to ask Ari Lennox that question. I'm not going to ask that because it seems from what I've read on you, clearly you felt like you were well within your rights. Seeing as it happened, do you want to take the time in any way to apologize to Ari Lennox because of the fact that the question bothered her so much, it made her feel so uncomfortable? Now you know exactly how it made her feel. Do you feel like you owe her an apology?
Definitely, 100%, man. I think in the beginning, I didn't see anything wrong with what I said. But after watching, your podcast last week with Rachel and watching Charlemagne's Breakfast Club and the comments that they were saying about this whole thing, I actually sat back. I'm like, you know what? Actually, they're onto something, especially Rachel, because I think for me, I was looking in terms of if it's in a lyric, then, you know, I can ask whatever it is, you know, nothing's off limits. But I think what I learned from this is that it's not about what you're asking, it's how you ask it, you know, because as someone who prides themselves in my craft and my podcast, like, I do a lot of extensive research before I do any interviews. And for that one, it was very weird, man. Like, I got a call from her label and they're like, yo, I want to do this interview with Ari Lennox. And to be honest with you, I didn't really know who she was. The only time I heard of her was when she did a track with Nasty C, who's a South African hip-hop artist, right? So that's the only time I heard of her. So I didn't really know much about her. And I literally had like an hour to do research on Ari Lennox. So I went on my laptop, went on Google, YouTube, and the first thing I see is a Tiny Desk performance. So when I watched that, she's performing a song where she's talking about, I'll fuck you good, I'll fuck you good. I forgot the name of the song. So I'm like, oh, wow, this is dope. Here's a female artist who's sounds very sexually liberated. And if you watch my podcast, like, we always delve into sex and sex questions. And obviously not that raw. There's a bit more tech that goes into the questions. But there, I was like, oh, okay, cool. I guess, you know, we can just go cold turkey on this. And that's what I did. And then after the interview, she asked for some stuff to be removed, which I did remove. So when she was tweeting and saying that, you know, I didn't remove any of the stuff that she asked for, I found that very disingenuous, because we did. And, you know, I think if we're to upload some of the stuff that we did remove, then she probably, like, you know, I don't know, maybe cry real tears, because, like, I found it very disingenuous of her to say that we didn't remove those things, because we sent to her and the team the episode, and they approved it, and then we uploaded it.
Matt, I just want to follow up real quick. You sure you're not American? You did a good job of apologizing to her and then kicking her back in the same answer right there. That was very suave of you. I can't let you get away with that though. She says that she asked for some stuff to be removed. Did they tell you specifically what they wanted removed? Or did she say that she wants some stuff removed and then assume that you will remove? Because obviously she was obviously blindsided. Ari's not going to make that up. She was obviously blindsided when that interview came out.
Yeah. No, they told me exactly what to remove, and we did remove that. So that's what I'm saying. Like, the stuff that we removed, that if we go up right now, like, it'd be even cause more chaos, right? Because that's what we do with everybody that we interview. We give them the right of okay, cool, what do you want to be removed? Because we're not trying to portray anyone in any certain light or blindside, like you say, you know what I mean? So with everybody that we interview, we give them the right to watch the episode, and whatever they want removed, we always remove it. I mean, there's a politician I interviewed last week, and his episode is going up this Thursday, and he's asked for to watch the episode before it goes up. And we sent the episode to him, and he's going to tell us, he's going to come back and tell us what to remove, and we'll remove it. Because that's what we do. We've done that part of the podcast, and we stay doing that.
Mac G, I'm a why person. Why? Why did you, because you even said that you obviously tackle the topic of sex on your podcast quite often. I mean, it is called Podcast and Chill. You know, there is an innuendo there. But you said you typically aren't that raw. Why with her?
Yeah.
And then additional, so I guess that's the first part. And then, like, seeing her being completely taken aback by that question, you kind of pushed through and kept going. Like, you know, like, as a podcaster, we pick up on, like, the clues and stuff. So I'm just a little curious as to why, and then the fact that you kept going.
Yeah, like I said, like, when I heard that song where she's, like, is freely talking about sex, I was like, oh, okay, cool, I guess we can go there, you know? And what I say is that normally I wouldn't say who's fucking you good right now. I'd probably say, like, who's servicing you right now? Or, like, you know, like, find smart ways of how to ask the question without being so disrespectful, you know what I mean? And then the reason why I kept going, I thought, like, when I saw the video, I saw a reaction, I thought she forgot about that song and she forgot that she mentioned that. And then when she's like, oh yeah, maybe I did mention that, I thought it was cool, you know? And also, like, normally we do sit downs with celebrities face-to-face. It's never, like, virtual. So with virtual, it's very hard to pick up the vibes of what the person might be feeling, you know? And I think if we're doing the episode live, I would have picked up on that. And I probably would have just moved right along and not even continue, you know? Because if you check the interview, I still continue to ask her, like, do you understand what I'm saying? You know, because I couldn't really pick up what vibe she had going on. And I thought it wasn't so much of a big deal. Hence why when they said we must remove some of the stuff, we never took that part out because no one told us to, and would have gladly.
What's my vibe right now?
Yeah, what's Rachel's vibe?
I couldn't even tell. I think Rachel looks like bite my head off. I know I'm not a favorite person right now. That's for sure.
So, like, let me tell you what the issue is here, Mac G.
Yeah.
Is we have a whole lot of black men out there, right? A whole lot of black men right there. What we're trying to do is foster a culture where we as black men understand how to appreciate, how to make space for, and how to grant safety to the women that we share our communities with and our world community with, right? Well, I got to call you out about something, man.
Yeah.
I got to call you out about the fact that you apologized to Ari But then at the same time, you said that it was disingenuous what she was doing. I felt, let me tell you why I'm calling you out right now, brother. With love. I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
I'm calling you out because if you wanted to apologize to her sincerely for that question making her feel bad, because to be honest with you, the reality is sometimes you got to apologize for shit you ain't even mean to do, right? That's a real sure. thing. Yeah. Sometimes you apologize for shit you ain't even mean to do. We all got to do that.
Sure.
Yeah.
But to apologize and then to come back and on the end of it, talk about the fact that you felt like she was capping a little bit and being a little bit disingenuous, it depowers your apology a little bit. Like, we can talk about what you feel like R and her team did. That's very fair. And that we have a podcast where all the ideas, we're not afraid to run from any of them. But you saw what she went through on Twitter. You saw that she was embarrassed. That's one of our sisters. If you had to say something to her right now to make her feel better about the fact that she had an interaction with you that was unpleasant for her, like, what would you say?
Look, man, I'd say to her that I want to sincerely apologize for that question and how it made her feel and the aftermath of everything like that, everything that came after that interview dropped. Because to be honest with you, if you watch my podcast, I'm not a malicious person. I don't hate anyone. I don't hate women. Our podcast is very inclusive. I mean, I've got a network where we have a woman podcast, you know? It's a podcast for women, by women, which lives under my network because we want to push that narrative of women having their own voice. You know, I mean, I was raised by a single mother. So I have the utmost respect for women. And I would like to genuinely apologize to Ari and any other woman out there I might have offended with those comments, you know, because that's not what I'm about, you know. But, you know, with how things are right now, where people can just take small clips and post it on social media to push their narrative, you know, I felt it's important to come on a platform like this and apologize to whoever might have been offended, especially Ari Lennox.
Listen, I appreciate that. I mean, it, you know, you didn't have to apologize. You could have stood your ground. You're right. We saw a portion of the podcast, not the whole thing. It's not my apology.
Great
to
interview.
Accept.
I watched the whole thing. Great, great interview. She's a great interviewer. They seemed like they were going back and forth. Cool. Like it was very, very fun to watch. I've watched several episodes of his podcast. I fuck with it. Like, you know what I mean? It's good
Ari
stuff.
I hope Ari hears
your
apology. I really do. And you're right. You're not malicious in anything that you try to do. I wondered, you know, what else? You obviously heard our reaction, but what other response have you gotten? I know, you know, Charlamagne said that he doesn't want to cancel. He wants to counsel. I'm curious if he reached out to you or if any other people reached out to you just about, like, the situation and how to move forward, or even a support to keep your head up, because I'm sure they were after you. I mean, I'm pretty sure I was after you on the podcast. So,
yeah, definitely. Charlamagne reached out to me, sent me a DM, and he was sharing the same sentiments that you just alluded to now of wanting to counsel me and help me, because he said that, you know, he made some mistakes. He's been in my shoes before when he was younger, and he doesn't want me to go past to go through the same road, you know, which I really appreciate, because you know, when you don't want to be malicious or you know, cause conflict with anybody, it's very crucial that you can get mentors like a Van Lathan or Charlamagne, you know, especially guys in the same space, you know, that can help you and make you a greater broadcaster. Because at the end of the day, that's what I strive for each and every day. And for me, it was a learning curve. And, you know, I hope it was a learning curve for other people as well, other podcasters that are coming, that are watching, because I think it's important. You know, I share every sentiment that everybody's been saying, like, we got to protect our queens. We got to love them. We got to embrace them. We got to show them.
Work.
That's why we have female on the network. And we're the only ones doing that, you know. It's just that sometimes things are twisted in a way that can make garden, but we live and we learn, you know.
And to be honest with you, you know, that's the whole point of it. The whole point of it is we ain't perfect. We, you know, people, things happen. You atone, you say what you got to say. You, like, you move on, you do better. And something else, another reason why I'm glad we're talking, because as I saw on the internet, South Africa loves you, bruh. South Africa loves you so much. And this kind of turned into a South Africa versus United States thing. And I haven't been down there yet. You know what I mean? I haven't been down there yet to chill and to kick it with my real people. Well, actually, I'm Nigerian. You know, I'm actually Nigerian, but I haven't been down there to kick it with my real people yet. And I saw this talking about, I saw people going, the Americans better leave MACG alone. The Americans have their own problems. And I'm like, oh shit, we was all black just a couple of days ago. And now we the Americans. I'm like, wow, we got Ari's back. They got MACG's back. It was crazy. So it's all love right now. We still love South Africa. We love you. And we're hoping that we've been able to put this whole thing behind us, man, because you really do a good job on the podcast. And I thought that for the most part, even the interview with her was pretty dope. So hopefully you and her will be able to get in contact. Is that something that you're looking to do? Would you want to actually be able to speak with Ari Lennox again? And maybe you and her personally can get past this. Has there been any attempt for you to reach out to her? Has there been any attempt for her to reach out to you? Is there any possibility that you guys will get back together and maybe do something else? And maybe you guys could actually talk about this?
Yeah, definitely. I'd love that, man. I'd love that. Because, I mean, Ari Lennox is my sister, you know. Yeah. I grew fond, especially after the interview. We actually did that interview last year. And since I did the interview, I've been bumping her music. I didn't know her, like I said, until the interview. And then after that, I got into music and I've been bumping it ever since. She's my sister, man. I love it to bits. Unfortunately, they haven't reached out, neither have I, because like I said, it was through their label, I think University, a producer, and then we made that happen. But I'd love to have a sit down with her, or maybe, you know, do a space or Instagram live or whatever the case may be, you know?
Yeah. MACG, I mean, it is not easy. You don't know us like that to come to Higher Learning to you know what I mean? Like, you didn't know how we were going to approach you. You obviously heard how we talked about the situation on the podcast. We appreciate you for that. I just want to know, like Vance said, he has never been to South Africa. I've never been to South Africa. Can we podcast and chill in South Africa? Like, where's our invite? When's the best time of year to come? We're there.
You got to come through, man. You know, you guys don't understand. We have so much love for you, man. Because most of us, I speak for like 90% of the young people in SA. We all grew up listening to hip hop, watching American movies. American influence, you know. Remember this time I got laid and I was watching the Kanye West thing where he was having a meltdown and at TMZ and Van Lathan. I was watching this. I'm like, fuck, I wish I could speak like this guy, because he's saying everything that was in my head, you know. And ever since that, I found new respect for him. I just recently watched the Academics interview you did the other day where you were calling out Academics. I'm like, okay, this is the nigga that calls out people. All right, I see you.
And yet he still came on our podcast. You know,
so yeah, still came on. So MACG, very happy that you came on the podcast. I'm hope whatever issues that you guys have between the two teams, you guys can work them out, because it's the most important thing is that everybody knows that we're all good souls that want the best for one another. And you know what, bro? You know, when I come to South Africa, when Charlamagne and them went down there and they was playing with tigers and shit, that's not the South Africa I want. When I come down to South Africa, I want to get all those beautiful pictures that everybody got, hang out and all of that stuff. I don't want to go on those safaris and shit like that. I want to actually chill when I come down there. But man, I appreciate you for coming to have the conversation, seriously. Because the most important thing is, whether we're wrong or right in the beginning, is that we can always know better so we can try to do better. And I think that you're doing that. And so I appreciate everything that you just kicked it with us with, brother, and talk to us about, man.
Thank you, man. And please tell Joe Budden I'm not a shock jock, dog. I'm a broadcaster. I've been doing it longer than him, bro.
I'm not down with him.
Whoa. Hold on for a second. Joe has some smoke for you?
Yeah. Man, he called me a shock jock, dog. And I've been broadcasting. I started on radio for about 20 years. And then the station that you mentioned, 94.7, I don't work there anymore. They fired me. And then that's when I started my own podcast. So yeah, I'm a broadcaster by nature. And then I just fell in love with podcasts. exhausting, you know?
Right. Let them know. Let them know. I want to say this too, Mac G. South Africa has a huge bachelor population. I can't tell you how many people hit me up about The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. And y'all have y'all's own. You know what I'm talking about? Like, so many. It's a huge, after United States and Canada, it's South Africa.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah.
And my woman loves it. She was actually telling me that you were the first bachelorette, I believe.
Black.
Yeah. First black bachelorette. Yeah,
that's my girl.
Yeah, would you like to ask Rachel about her time in the fantasy suite, or are we going back down the wrong?
Hey, someone was fucking me good, Mac G, in the fantasy suite.
Oh, Jesus Christ. That's enough.
I married him.
I didn't want to know that. I was just chilling with the guy yesterday.
I married him.
Thank you for coming on the show, man. I'm going to reach out to you, and I want to come on your podcast literally within the next couple of weeks. I want to come kick it with y'all, man. So we really appreciate you coming on. Seriously, bro. Yeah.
Thank you, Rachel. Thank you, Ben. Really appreciate it, man. All the best. God bless.
Okay. By the way, I don't know. Did I tell you I think I have a concussion?
Ben, how? Boxing.
I'm almost sure.
You got knocked out?
I took a big, big shot on Saturday.
Okay. I don't mean to make light of it, but was this like a Nate Robinson knockout?
No, I didn't get knocked out. I've never been knocked out, but the shot is one of those. It's only happened to me a couple of times. You get hit and then your ears ring.
Oh.
And for a second, like you hit your ear rings for a second, you're like, eh. And for me, to see the crazy part about my ass is that gets me into the fight. But then later on that night, I had a real bad headache. It's come and gone yesterday, and now it's kind of still there when I move around some different areas. Yes, I got a headache.
Well, see, like, here's my confusion. I thought you were just working out. Why are you in there getting injured? I thought this was like a workout. We're starting our cardio. We're training for the workout. Yeah. You're in there preparing for a fight.
Yeah, I'm getting in the ring this year.
Who's next?
I'm getting in the ring this year.
With who?
I don't know.
You trying to be in one of these?
We got a couple of things we're working on, baby. All right.
I'm not going to support it. I just want to be on record saying that. I'm not coming. I'm not supporting. I'm not.
Yes, you are. So the Republicans are trying to get affirmative action out of here. And of course, if you get affirmative action out of here, who is it going to affect? Blacks and Latinos. The Supreme Court stated they would hear two cases opposing race-conscious admissions at the University of North Carolina and Harvard University. However, experts say that Black and Latino students would be harmed at disproportionate rates if the Supreme Court ruled in favor of reversing its policy on affirmative action programs in the United States. Rachel, how do you feel about rolling back affirmative action? How do you feel about us feeling like we're in a point in America where the disparities are gone and we don't need to look out for students of color?
We live in an America where the disparities are gone and we don't need to look out.
That's what they say.
People of color. It's comical. Just sit back and look at what's happening in our country right now. They are literally trying to eliminate the stories and the history for Black people. They're eliminating the discussion of anybody who is different from being walking the straight white line. So you want to get rid of affirmative action, which obviously is designed to eliminate discrimination among, you know, applicants or whatever it may be, whether it's a job, whether it's school, you know, to, I guess, remedy prior discrimination and prevent future discrimination. So you want to get rid of it. So my question is, why would I have faith in a system and believe that they would be equal in admitting diverse students when I'm watching what's happening in this country where racism is alive and well, and everything that you're doing, whether it's a bill in place, whether it's whether it's bills in place that are eliminating certain things and that are trying to keep your white power and your whiteness intact, all of a sudden I'm supposed to believe that we need to eliminate affirmative action because we live in a country where we're all about everybody and everybody being equal and on the same page. It just doesn't make any sense. And I just think it's wild that after the racial awakening we had and everything that we saw come out in 2020, all that shows me is what's happening right now in the elimination of affirmative action, in banning books out of libraries, in proposing bills that allow certain teachings to be eliminated in the school system where they don't even exist already. That is a direct response to people being aware and recognizing these institutional racism and systemic racism in this country. What's happening in 2022 is a direct response to that. So affirmative action isn't being, you know, brought in front of the Supreme Court because we're all, racism doesn't exist and we're all the same. It's there to keep intact what could possibly be eliminated because people are now more, not saying it is, but people are just now more aware of what is going on and what has existed in the this country since its existence.
So, yeah, we're not going to make it.
And by we, you mean who?
The American society as presently constituted. We're not going to make it. So America has been like a dysfunctional marriage forever, right? An abusive one. It's worked because there've been enough people on both sides to try to trudge through that relationship and push through that marriage in the hopes that one day they could get to some happiness that they promised themselves earlier when they got together. You know, I've done wrong things to you, but one day we're going to get to a point to where we understand that we're better together. We're going to move forward and have all of this great stuff. The goal of the modern right, and we had Tamika Hamilton on. We'll do a little cleanup about our interview with Tamika Hamilton in a second. The goal of the modern right is to minimize American blackness. It's to erase American blackness. It's to make sure that in places where you desperately need black people, that there aren't any, and the black people that you have in those places have a warped view of the actual history of the country. See, America needs one of two things, one or two things, one thing or both things, whatever. America needs either weak niggas or no niggas. That's how they would like it. So they either want weak niggas or no niggas. That's the way it goes in America. Anything else, the strong, they can't really do anything with that unless they're rapping about how they fuck over other black people and then they're cool with that. But they need weak niggas or they need no niggas. And all of this stuff that we're talking about, all of this stuff, not even right now, they're just saying the quiet part loud now, but they've always done this. It's a way to make us weaker. We're weaker if we don't know what's going on in the country. We're weaker if we don't know. If you have less information than somebody else who has all the information and I want you to have it, of course you're weaker than them. And then you're playing on their field. Also with this, if you keep black people out of spots like, you know, Harvard, North Carolina, whatever, then you're going to see kids that come from places that don't have the structures in place to make sure that they get to institutes of higher learning, that you're going to see people come from school districts that are undervalued, underfunded, and not really taken care of as much. You're not going to see as many kids rise to that situation, and the gap is going to close slower. So they either make you stupider or they remove you. And it used to be that they did this very covertly, almost so it felt like they weren't doing it at all. But what Trump has allowed them to do is just do it very loudly. Go, hey, we don't want you guys around. And if we do want you around, we don't want you to know what you should know. And so the question becomes, how do you beat that? And the answer is you can't beat it. You have to kill it. And it's just hard to have conversations and have good faith dialogue with ideas that you know you have to kill. That's the thing that is really standing in the way. We talked to Tamika Hamilton last week. She seemed like a very decent human being for all intents and purposes, right? Her ideas have to die They can't be augmented. They're just wrong. Like, they have to die. Like, they don't work for black people. And it's like, it's, you want to reach across the aisle, right? But you don't want to reach across the aisle and put your hand in a volcano. If there was something that wasn't going to burn your hand off across the aisle, it would be cool. So, like, it's not about talking to people. You have to change them or kill their ideas, either change their ideas or kill them. And I just don't see how we get out of it. Like, all of this stuff, the Supreme Court is hearing this stuff. The Supreme Court is swinging their shillelagh around. They played it cool for a little while. Okay, we're not going to get involved in the election, blah, 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 blah. But now what they're basically doing is saying, hey, 6-3, baby. We're coming after everything.
Full force. Yeah.
It's tough. How'd you feel about Tamika last week?
I... Just like that. Do it again. No, I mean, I just, I was stuck in a place of trying to be respectful to the fact that we invited a guest to our podcast.
Nice lady.
But she was extremely nice. She was a nice person.
Yeah.
She was a terrible politician. I walked away not understanding where she stood. I knew she stood on the wrong side of us, but I didn't understand her platform. Other than if she was talking in regards to her husband as a police officer, that I understood. I understood her passion about homelessness in regards to veterans. I understood that. But there was just so much missing from her and so much, not even misinformation, just lack of knowledge. And you are running to be a part of the United States Congress. How are you not watching and paying attention to the particularities of what is happening in Congress to a body you want to be a part of that? She just seemed to be, sorry for lack of better words, clueless on what is happening to a group she wants to be a part of. And I think that was troubling. I think that, you know, there were certain times we could have pushed back on things when she talked about teachers who were teaching this, you know, misinformation. And it's like, where was the proof? Tamika, like, where's the proof that that is actually happening? Are you just spewing Republican rhetoric because you heard the higher ups in the party say this stuff? So I like, she's a nice person, and I think that that's what's hard. But like, just to be honest, like, she was awful, yeah, in regards to the politics. I like her as a person. She's nice. She's nice. She's nice.
Would you ever watch like a football game with her and her husband?
Well, you wouldn't invite them both to dinner. So I guess the football game we wouldn't be watching is at your house.
Let me say, maybe we could. But like, the thing is, it's like, I like people to be able to say wavelength. And when the game starts and like the national anthem comes and then they stand up and put their hands over their hearts, the homie's going to look at them like, you know, what's up with y'all? But after that, we could be cool. You know?
Even watch the national anthem?
Brandy sang it.
We talked about that, but then we started a conversation about Brandy and Ray J. Like, we were so not paying attention to, how's she do? Do we even know? I don't even know how she's saying.
Brandy has a beautiful voice.
That's not what I said. How does she do as the national anthem?
Because we got great. Distracted. It's Brandy. She did great. Brandy has an amazing voice.
I mean, I'm the one who obviously values Brandy way more on this podcast than you do. So.
Yeah, whatever. You don't know her songs. So look, white people are at it again. So Woolly Mammoth de-extinction scientist reveals plan to create Arctic elephant. There's a movie about this. There's a movie out there called Mammoth.
Nope.
And they filmed half of the movie in Baton Rouge. It's called Mammoth. It's about a woolly mammoth that they figure. The woolly mammoth. Because this is what happens. You make the woolly mammoth. Well, you can film movies. There's a tax credit down there. So look, scientists who plans to bring back the woolly mammoth, or at least its genes, back from an extinction has revealed details about creating an Arctic elephant. Mammoths mostly died out around 10,000 years ago. Well-preserved samples of these extinct giants have since been found in the Arctic permafrost, should I say, allowing researchers to get a glimpse of their DNA sequence. It's a fucking bad idea. We're trying to de-extinct genes, this guy told HMN News. The field has actually already done this with two genes that confer cold-resistant properties to organisms. Listen to this.
I don't understand anything.
The field has already developed, already done this with two genes that confer cold resistant properties to organisms. They about to make some niggas that don't get cold. They about to make all of these people into hoes because we know they don't get cold. Wow. You ever been on the stroll? On the blade in your city? The girls be out there doing their thing, whatever the temperature is. Shout out to them. If we legalized it, they could be doing it for the privacy of their own homes and hanging out and doing whatever. But, you know, we want to be all prudish and shit. But the idea is to safely introduce these and other genes into present-day elephants so the elephants can comfortably live and restore Arctic environments. Now, I'm all for the elephant. I think the elephant is a fantastic animal. I don't believe them that they're just trying to make these elephants not get cold. There you go right there. There's the elephant that you have. I think white people want to bring back woolly mammoth.
Why?
Because that's what they do. White people do everything except what they're supposed to be doing.
Now that I'm going to go ahead and agree with. That was my thought when I read this.
You know what I'm saying? They do everything. Why don't you bring back Dr. King? How about that?
Like, please, you know, let him rest in peace.
Bring back Dr. King. Clone him. That's what we need. Clone W.E.B. Du Bois. Clone some of them. Clone Maya Angelou. Bring Maya Angelou back. That would be crazy, right? Like, they clone Maya Angelou. They bring Maya Angelou back. Rest in peace to our sister. And all of a sudden, Maya Angelou is like wearing a Make America Great Again hat.
Like, see what I'm saying? True. Like, it would be like the evil twin. No, I wouldn't trust it. Like, let's stop.
But this woolly mammoth situation, somebody gonna get fucked up. I guarantee you, somebody's gonna get fucked up. The woolly mammoth is coming back on Earth, Rachel, and he's gonna get here and he's like, what the fuck is that building?
Doesn't he live in the Arctic?
The woolly mammoth?
Yeah.
The woolly mammoth lived all over. He lived during the Ice Age. So
right, where it's cold. So he's only gonna be in like cold, super cold areas. He's not going to look at a building and he's not going to, that's not where he thrives. He's in Antarctica.
Let me tell you something about
up there in Finland.
Let's look up the woolly mammoth real quick. Let's see where he lived. Woolly mammoth. His name is Mammothus Mammothus Primigenius. He's an elephant. East Asia, that the Colombian, there was a Colombian mammoth, okay? There was Siberia, Alaska, to your point. So, yeah, so maybe he's not going to see very many. But look, I don't want him to come back. How about that? I think this is a waste of fucking time.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more.
Like,
why are we wasting our time on this? What's the purpose?
Now, wait. If they're saying, so there's one way that this could be cool. If they're saying they're going to bring back elephants that can survive in the cold, and then they're going to take some of the elephants that we have now and put them in Arctic environments, then maybe that will make it too cold for people to go up there and poach the elephants and kill up the elephants. But I don't know if that's true. If there's nothing that rich Americans like doing more than fucking over Africa, go over there, have a safari, tease a tiger, aggravate a fucking zebra. That's what they like to do. And if you put fucking elephants where it's cold, they're going to put on a North Face and they're going to go to wherever these elephants are and they're going to aggravate and get on these elephants' asses. I don't know why we're trying to bring back shit. Bring back some other shit. Like, I want to, if they can de-extinct stuff, we should be able to make the decision.
Okay. And what other than historical figures that you admire, who else would you want to bring back?
I don't know. But it's a lot of shit that I feel like we should be able to vote on what they de-extinct. That's the thing. We should be able to vote. If they're going to put all of this, because all they're going to do, you know, this is, look, I'm telling you, man, it's some old white dude with a cane, with a mosquito in the goddamn thing somewhere.
You know
I'm telling you, there's some dude is now behind this.
This is a movie reference. I understand.
I'm telling you, there's they want Jurassic Park. That's what they want. Rachel, Billy, Thought Warriors out there, like Thought Warriors out there. Be honest. They want Jurassic Park. This is the beginnings of it. This is all the rules. You're going to be walking out of your house one day, and it's going to be a wild velociraptor talking to Bozeman. And Bozeman is a dog. He can't handle a velociraptor. I don't want him to have to fight that off. This is going down a bad path. I'm telling you guys, it's not right.
I'm not going to deny it. I'm not going to deny it. You start small. People say, oh, that's harmless. That's just a woolly mammoth. He's going to be in cold climates. He's not even going to be anywhere near us. I get it. I get what you're saying. Especially, and all this is reminding me, because one of the things we detoured in watching the game was that Komodo dragon.
The Komodo dragon.
Which is just, it's very dinosaur-y.
Think about if there was some Komodo dragons, like, it's just going to be so funny, like, when we're older and, like, our kids and grandkids are, like, going to the dinosaur park, and I'm going to be sitting there, like, laying in a tank of fluid, water, you know, keeping me going and stuff like that. I'm going to sit there and be like, okay, take your motherfucking ass to that dinosaur park. It's going to go bad. It's going to go bad. You guys go to that dinosaur park. We've been down here. And there's going to be so many assurances, right? The Democrats are going to tell you it's okay. Because this is what the Democrats do. The Democrats tell you that the dinosaur park is okay until the dinosaurs fuck up. And then they run again and tell you that they have a plan for the dinosaurs. And then you elect them again. And then the dinosaurs like start running around. And the Democrats go, we don't have the votes.
You sound like you could be describing both sides. I just want you to be honest with me.
The Republicans are evil. The Democrats are inept. It's just different. They're different. The Republicans are evil. The Democrats are inept. It's just different. Okay, Van's very serious question of the week.
What you got?
I want you to rank these three people in terms of singing. Whitney Houston, Mariah Carey, Aretha Franklin. 1, 2, and 3. Go.
Ooh, okay.
Mariah, Whitney, Aretha. Give me a 1, a 2, a 3.
Is that your order?
No, I'll tell you what my order is.
So, the way I'm making this decision is not just solely based on voice or songs or number one hits. It's legacy. It's history. It's who created a path.
Created a path.
So I'm going Aretha 1, mm-hmm. Whitney 2, right. Mariah 3.
Okay. So we both have Mariah at 3, which is blasphemous because she has an amazing voice and has all the
hits.
But
look at who she's in the presence of. You know what I mean? I honestly think Mariah might put herself third in this grouping.
This is my grouping. Whitney 1, Aretha 2, Mariah 3. No one sings better than Whitney Houston and Luther Vandross. No one.
Okay. It's not about singing better, because obviously Aretha was like an auntie to Whitney. Aretha did so much before 25. It's amazing. Aretha also played an instrument. Whitney never did.
The fuck that got to do with anything?
Because who she cares? Was writing and creating music.
That's and yeah, so there's I'm talking
so
about
I'm like
voice.
I'm putting it all together. Like I'm just putting it. I said it's not just about voice to me, but there is something about Whitney too. There's something about Aretha. When I hear her, I melt. She can sing 5 words, and I'm like, oof, that's Aretha.
Yeah.
I'm a big Aretha fan. So Aretha, Whitney, Mariah.
Whitney, Aretha, Mariah.
All
right. Those are the three. We're going to do the male singers next week. The male singers are going to, I'm not going to announce them because people are going to do
them. No, I don't want to know. Week. Okay.
I'm not going to tell you the male singers next week, but Whitney, it's Whitney, Aretha, Mariah. And I love Mariah Carey's voice, but.
Of course.
No one sings better than Whitney Houston. God rest the dead. No one sings better. No one sings better. Last thing I'll say before we go. You know, obviously, Rach, we appreciate you being here and soldiering through the podcast today. We know that it's a tough time for you and a lot of your friends and a lot of people who knew Chesley. And so I just want to make sure that I say to you guys right now that I'm thinking of you. I'm thinking about her family. I'm thinking about all her loved ones. I'm thinking about the people who are hurting right now. So I love you, and I appreciate that you did the podcast today. So take as much time as you need to kind of deal with things and figure things out, and you know, try to find some joy somewhere. I know it's hard losing somebody.
No, I appreciate you saying that. And I love this. I love you. And I love our Thought Warrior community. And it has been a nice distraction to be able to come and talk and laugh and joke and just take myself away from what the current reality is at the moment. All I want to say is, I don't even want to reiterate, you said it so beautifully about, you know, Chesley's family and friends and coworkers and everybody who's impacted, but just like, love on people, you guys, check on people, check on yourselves.
Yeah.
You know, if there's an issue, you know, like, don't be too prideful or ashamed or whatever feeling it may be. Seek help. People care about you. People love you. And just do what you need to do to take care of yourself. And don't do it alone. There's no shame in seeking help.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Take the caps off, but do not stop learning. I am Van Lathan Jr.
I'm Rachel Lynn Lindsay. Bye, guys.
God damn it. Always forgets to say bye.